Good morning. Everybody hear me okay? Good, good. How did I get here this morning? About 3 weeks ago, Dan called and said, God's been telling me that you need to do something more this summer. And I got a couple options for you. Okay. He says, Carolyn and Kyle are going to be doing something with the youth, and you could go help out there, or there's some opportunities from the pulpit. And of course, first thing, oh, I'm pretty sure I want to go do something with the youth, because that was much less evasive for me. So anyway, I told him I would give him a couple days, and I would pray about it, and I would get back to him. Well, at the time that this all happened, that he called, you notice my oldest son's here. We've been going through a shotgun storm of struggles with the business. And in the middle of all of that, this phone call comes from Dan, and he wants me to pray about what I should do. And so I started praying and asked the Lord, and I was pretty sure I was going to go help out with the youth. And second day into it, I've been reading in Hebrews, and that's where I was at, and I heard God's voice. He said, no, you need to preach from the pulpit. And I said, oh, I don't have anything to say, God. I don't know what to talk about. And by the way, remember all the trouble I'm in right now? I don't know really where to go or how to talk about that. And he said, no, that's what you'll do. And so I reluctantly drug my feet a couple more days before I called Dan. Maybe that God might change my heart about it, but he didn't. And so here I am. The last couple weeks have been trialsome. We have a small logging company, and it's family owned, me and both my sons and my wife and their wives, and we're all involved. We bought a couple log trucks. My brother drives one. So it's all family oriented. And up to about 2 months ago, everything's been wonderful. God's blessed us, and we've been praying and all together, and everything's been great. But then all of a sudden, we came through this whole mess of breakdowns, and somehow we seem to be okay through them. But then after a little while, something else comes up, and we pray and ask God to help us, and something else comes up. And eventually, about 2 weeks ago when this all started, I have real young foresters, new guys starting out, and believe it or not, I'm one of the older men in the industry now, and so I'm trying to guide these young men on how they're supposed to treat me, but they don't always get that. And so in the middle of all this, they fired me. They had jobs for me to do, because we basically thin up here above Enumclaw. We take out the dead and dying trees and enhance the stand is what we do. And during the time when the bark starts slipping off the trees, they find something else for us to do to keep us around. And so they had a couple jobs lined out for us, but it wasn't long enough. The bark's still slipping. And so we finished those up. And so they offered me another job. It didn't fit us. It was a highly job, and we're basically a ground-based company. We got equipment that work on the ground, and we do some steep hills, but not the stuff that does this. You know, I have a machine that can do that, but we're not set up for it. We don't have enough guys working for us. And so these kids showed me this job, and I said, whoa, we don't do this kind of work. This is not what we're set up to do. And they said, oh, well, you're going to have to find another job until the bark stops slipping. Now, not only do I have all these payments for all this equipment that we bought, but I have a house payment. My son's building a house. My other son just bought a house. My brother just bought a house. And so now I'm trying to figure out how we're going to keep everybody's homes and try to keep the equipment and find a job. And so I had a talk with this young man, and I told him, I says, I'm going to have to do whatever I got to do to stay busy, so I'm going to go walk around the corner here, and I'm going to make a couple phone calls, and I'm going to find some work. And I said, when I do, I said, I'll get back to your stuff when possible. And he just looked at me, and I walked around the corner. Well, I found another job. I called some foresters I know, and we found some work, and And it really wasn't ready yet, and it wasn't where we wanted to be. But it turned out that, funny how God works things out, this young man called me back within, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and says, oh, by the way, we found another job for you. We decided we wanted to keep you around. So that was kind of the start of everything that was going on wrong, the trials that we were going through. And then we got started on this new job, which is clear up over the top of Kapalsa Tree Farm down by Ashford on the other side. It's not really an easy jaunt to get there every morning. And when you get up there, you have no service whatsoever. And so we leave the house at 3 o'clock, and somewhere around 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we finally get a hold of Michelle and try to find out what happened during the day. So we don't really get a chance to talk to each other or what's going on. And so as we're starting this new job, we start having problems with the processor, the machine that falls the trees and cuts them to length and everything, kind of what Luke runs it, and it's kind of the source of what we do. It's the part that we makes the logs and keeps us running. If it goes down, we all go down clear to the trucks, you know. And so everything's good. God's answering prayers. Everything seems to be fine. And then all of a sudden, Luke starts having some breakdowns. And so we're muscling through them and working through the breakdowns. And it's like, God, what are you doing in my life? What is going on here? I can't seem to get my feet underneath me. Now, a lot of you that grew up here, you know, logging, that's just kind of logging, you know. We're always that way. We're like farmers, one day at a time. Something's always happening. Weather change and things fall apart. But it seemed like the storms were getting closer and closer together, and I just couldn't seem to stay on top of them. You know, I'm like, Lord, what are you doing to us? And we didn't do this without prayer. We prayed and we asked God to help us, and we waited for all the doors to open, and things seemed to be going the right direction. But next thing you know, things just keep happening. And it got to the point where me and Luke were talking, we were afraid to ask God for help, because every time we did, something else happened. You know. And so about the time that Dan calls me and asks me to start doing something, Luke's computer goes out in his processor head. Now, if you know me, I don't do computers. I don't understand computers whatsoever. Luke's the computer man, and he's the guy that runs the machine, and he didn't know what to do. And so we started calling, and the only people that you can call are the guys that made it. Now, our machine's only, 2007? It's pretty new, right? No, it's outdated already. And all the software and all the things are in it. There's only one guy, and he's in Spokane, and he knows how to do it, but he's kind of busy, and we don't get cell service. And so we're tearing this thing apart, trying to figure out what to do. And finally, Luke gets a hold of him, and they said, oh, it's a battery inside of it. Send it over to us. We'll fix it. Okay, so we put the machine down. So me and Joe and Luke got together, and we decided, well, what we're going to do is we're going to hand fall stuff. Well, they're going to hand cut stuff, and we're going to try to keep things going, because it should only be a day or two, right? No. They sent it back and said, oh, by the way, it works. That's not the problem. So now the kids have been working their tails off in the heat. It was during that little hot storm peel we had, you know, and so that's not the problem. So we call them back and ask them what we should do, and they said, we don't know. Now, the problem with the logging industry after the economy's crash and came back, a lot of this machinery doesn't exist anymore, and the people that made and work on the machinery aren't there anymore. And so you just don't go down and buy one of these things. And now that the economy started back up a little bit, everybody's trying to buy them, and so you go get in line. And so the only thing that I could think of doing is maybe buying a new machine, but we're 2 years out before we could even get a new machine. Maybe we'll put a new head on the end of this one here. I could refinance things and maybe try to do that, but that would be a month and a half down and $157,000 that I didn't have. I'm like, God, what am I doing? Why would you bring me to this point after all that we've been through? Why would you draw me here and then ask me to get up and speak about it? I don't have any idea. What am I? And God said, this verse comes flying through my head, and it's probably not the greatest of verse, but it's the one where I was reading at the time. And this is how he spoke and sparked my heart. It says in Hebrews 10, verse 24, it says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up the meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. And I realized that I had forgot all the things that God had done for me up to this point. And all I could see was the down. And so Sunday mornings, we have a prayer group in the back, you know, and we've been praying, and it's my prayer lady warriors group. And I watch these ladies pray, and they encourage me. But our prayer group's kind of evolved a little bit in that it's not just a time when we sit around and we pray. We've been talking about the things that we're going through and the struggles. And at the end of the hour, I feel a lot better than I did when I came in. And through reading this verse, I realized that we don't share with each other the things that God's doing in our lives. We don't talk about the miracles. I mean, how many times has God done something in your life, and the moment it happened, you're excited, your heart's moved, but then 5 minutes later, the world seems to want to swallow it up. You know, somehow it happened by chance. Somehow, did that really happen, or was it something else? And after a short period of time, we forget what God's been doing in our lives all along. And that's what was happening to me. I was in the midst of this storm, and I just could not see why God would destroy me, why God would bring me to the point to crush me and to ruin my family. I forgot all the things that he had done so far. I forgot. So we muscled on through. And we kept going, and we kept trying to work on this silly machine. Luke finally pulled out the whole computer system, and we sent it over to Spokane, and I'm just like, what are we going to do? We're going to try to keep up. We're going to try to do this by hand. We're going to try to keep some money coming through. We're going to try to stay alive, but I don't know how it's going to happen. So we started through, and Luke made a couple phone calls, and the guys got the stuff back there, and next thing you know, they sent it back to us 2 days later, all complete and ready to put back in. Luke installed it Thursday. Friday morning, we went to work at midnight. And we had logs for the truck Friday morning. And we got logs for Monday morning. And I'm here to tell you, God is good. You know, I don't know. I silly logging story. But, you know, we got to share with each other what God's doing in our lives. It's important. It's our strength, you know? It goes on in Hebrews here, and the author says something else. At the end of verse chapter 10, he says, "But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but we are of those who believe and are saved." God gave us the strength in each other, and he gave us the strength in our testimonies and what he's doing in our lives. And we have to remember, you know, I remember reading for the first time about the Israelites when they left Egypt. You know, and I kept thinking, why do they keep grumbling against God? Why can't they see what God's doing in their lives? Boy, it's easy to do. Real easy to do. It's easy to forget what God has done and all the things and places that he's taken us. I get to work with my kids every day. You know, I get to do the job that I dreamed of. And I know it sounds kind of silly, logging, right? But I quit college to do this, you know? And I remember when we were kids, me and Michelle, and I was going to go to the seminary. The Southern Baptist Convention had let me baptize kids and preach in the church. And so I was going to go to the convention. And so I gave up my dream and to go to the seminary. And it's funny how God opens and closes doors and directs our lives. The guy that I was going down there with had some serious sin problems in his life, and he was kicked out of the convention. And the possibility for me going to the Southern Baptist Convention, the door was closed immediately. And 2 days later, a dozer with a truck underneath it showed up just down the road from our house, and I went and talked to Michelle, and I said, you know, I've always dreamed of owning my own business. And so we prayed about it, and I asked God to go before us, and we went and we bought this dozer, and I quit my job, and I started working for myself, and I was 24 years old. And I've been doing what I love to do every day, and every day God blesses me. But it is really easy to lose sight that God wants the best for you. He wants your desires. He wants your hopes. He came down. You know, Paul says that being God was something that we couldn't grasp, but that God made himself like a man so that he could come down here and he could have a relationship with us. He understands what it's like to be betrayed. He understands what it's like not to get what a human being wants. He understands what it's like to be taunted by sin and to be overrun by those he loves. He understands all of it, and he wants the best for us. The thing we got to do is not forget it. You know, I heard from one of my prayer warriors last week, it's time for a revival. Winter's over, summer's here. It's time for us to rejoice in the fact that God loves us and that he's a great and powerful God, you know? I mean, we talk about the God who made the heavens and the earth and spoke the stars into motion and heavens and earth and all that we are. He just spoke it. He's so powerful. But we forget that he can fix our problems from day to day. The smallest of things. We forget that he wants to be with us and have a relationship with us. He forgets that he wants to be a logger with me. That's crazy, but that's what it is. He put that inside of me, and he wanted to be that with me and to share it with me. And sometimes we think just because we have troubles, I mean, me and Luke were talking about that last week. We think about the troubles. We think, well, maybe it's because God's angry with me, you know? I mean, how many times do we sit here and listen to Dan talk about spiritual breathing, and then he finishes off with John about how if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us. I mean, there's nothing held against us as long as we have loved the Lord and accept him who he is, and there's nothing that's held from us. But yet somehow we forget that. We have to remember that he's not a God that sits in heaven and judges. He's not a God that sits up there and wants to bring down the thunder and lightning on you. He wants to show you that he loves you, and he wants to give you the heart's desire. But you got to remember, this is a God who grows trees. Now, if it was me, I would grow a tree every second so I could fall it a few days later. You know, I like trees, and I like to fall them, and I like to make logs out of them. But God doesn't do that. He brings a tree from a little bitty seed, and he makes this great big massive creature that brings shade and all kinds of wonderful things in our lives. And it takes a time for us. See, we live in time, and he doesn't live in time. So what is an instant for him seems like a lifetime for us. And it's the same thing with our trials. When we see God and we hear that we have a trouble and a trial and we call out on him and he answers our prayers, in an instant he answers them. But like the tree, it took my whole lifetime for it to grow. It seems like it takes a long time for the answer to get to us. And it isn't. The moment we pray, God heard our prayers and he answered us. He's doing what's best for us. He's growing us strong like a tree. He's growing us to be something in heaven that I can't even grasp. He's got a better plan for us than we'll ever imagine. And I'm hoped I made this long enough that the Sunday school teachers got through their craft projects. That was the plan. Dan was right. He said, get up here and talk to your family. And that's what happened. I look out at all of you, and you've been family to me for years now. And I'm so thankful to be here. And I pray that God's message will burn in your hearts. I pray that you will remember the prayers that God's done for you. And I'd like to open up, if you don't mind, and I'd like to ask, what's going on in your life? It's important that we share with God what he's doing in our life. What have you prayed for and God has answered? I mean, that's one of the things in our prayer group in the morning now is when we're talking about the things we get. So we're so involved in each other's life, we're asking each other questions because I want to see what's happening in their lives. They want to see what's happening in my lives because it gives me encouragement. And I'm telling you, if God is doing something in your life right now, you're going to be an encouragement to someone else in the body. And so if we could, where's the guys that always, Larry, where'd you go? Could we take these around? And I would like to finish up and ask if you would share with us anything that God's doing in your life. What are some of the prayers that you've been asking God and have you seen? It seems like there's an instance where God answers and does a miracle in your life. And it's almost like an acknowledgement of it. If you talk about it, and you speak of it, it doesn't go away. But sometimes if you ignore it, it's like it never happened. You know, God, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, and sometimes he's hard to see. You have to look for him and you have to want him. So what's happening in your life? Anybody? Share with us.
I'll share something that just happened here a couple years ago. We were thinking about moving away from here and bought some property down south. And I had this big plan. I'm just going to go down there like a buzzsaw, and I'm just going to make everything happen. And I left God out of it. So we get going down there, and God tells me, he says, no, I'll let you buy the place, but you're not moving there. And I couldn't figure out why. 9 years it took me to figure out why. I didn't trust him. I didn't rely on him. And when it finally dawned on me, I was leaving God out of everything. He sold the property. I lost some money on it, but I'm out of debt now. But the thing I'm trying to get at is God allows us to go through things, go through trials, and it's for our own good. Never think of it as, oh, poor me. Think of it as God is teaching us something. It always comes back to good. God is a God of good. So when you get a trial, just talk to God, see where he takes it. You'll see the end of it, and then praise him for it.
Isn't it amazing that somehow they never consume us? You know, we think it's the end. We foresee the end, and I can't see my way out of here, but somehow, you know, we live through it. God doesn't destroy us. Yes.
So the other half of this story is God doesn't deal with just one of us at a time. So I didn't want to move in the beginning, but we prayed about it originally, and this seemed like the perfect place for us. And so we go through all these things. We were going to divide the property. Our daughter was going to move on part of it. We were going to subdivide and sell the front part to pay for all the improvements and everything. And obstacle after obstacle came. So finally, it ended up we did have to sell it. But we still owed on it. So Ron worked 10 more years than he intended. It took us that long to pay it off. But God, the whole thing was preventative on God's part. If it had worked out, I can see that we would have moved away from everyone here, people that have ministered to us and that we've ministered to. And we would have been, I think, prideful. We would have thought, look what we did. We saved our money. We worked hard. We did this. We planned this. Look what we have now. We have this beautiful thing that we did. And God didn't want that for us. He wanted us to be dependent on him, to realize we almost lost our house. Ron worked 10 extra years. He was in pain a lot of times just from injuries and having to work hard, and that made me feel bad. But to see God's hand in it, that he brought us along, he made us dependent on him. We're still dependent on him. We did lose a lot of our retirement. But it was a special blessing to us that he didn't let it work, that he made us dependent on him, that we could see that our kids could see that. See that, you know, you do need to depend on God. And even though he lets you go ahead with some things, there's still lessons there. It may not be the way you expect. So yeah. We thank him for that.
Amen.
So we're still at the very beginning of God's plan. You all know that we founded the National Alliance to End Veteran Suicide. It's been almost 10 years ago in September. And it's been, you know, our passion and, you know, in service and just excited for the possibility. But 14 years ago, as I left teaching for Microsoft, came across an opportunity where I was a chief technical officer and a chief information officer and, you know, helped founded a company. A few months ago, we had a hostile takeover The investors then let go of the CEO and let go of myself. And I'll just say God closed that door, but that door has been a crutch that's kept us consumed time-wise to produce income so that we could afford to live. Mm-hmm. And we never really had that, I'll say, submitting and just, you know, just prayer to God that, you know, we're putting this in your hands. We can't do this alone. And I'm alive with the Spirit right now because I can feel it, mm-hmm. that it's growing, it's changing. We're making some bold transitions in our nonprofit. I've just been appointed the national director to be able to take it nationally. Amen. And we just got back from a trip in Hartford, Connecticut, where Aetna Insurance Company asked us to bring our workshop there, and it's just starting to blossom. And I can see God's vision of, you know, going pop, pop, like popcorn around the nation. And I don't know how to do that. I have no clue how to build that, but He's bringing people into our life. We now officially have a chaplain as part of the National Alliance, and he lives in Portland, and you know, all sorts of just things are happening that are causing us to go beyond what we could do as humans.
Amen.
And allowing God to lead.
And He'll give you everything that you need every step of the way.
Yeah, amen. It's just amazing. So we're blessed, we're excited. The journey begins.
Well, you know, you've been the inspiration here for a while. I've been watching you.
Thank you.
Watching your excitement and what you're doing, and it's exciting.
So I think we just took the parking brake off, and now we're ready to go full speed ahead.
Amen. Amen.
Sorry.
Yes, ma'am.
I didn't have really a story, but when you were talking about just how you hadn't recalled any of the miracles that He's done up in your life to this point. It reminded me of a scripture from Psalms 77 that I probably found it about a year ago, and it just jumped out at me. And it says, it starts off in verse 7, it says, "Has the Lord rejected me forever? Will He never again be kind to me? And is His unfailing love gone forever? Have His promises permanently failed? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has He slammed the door on His compassion?" And I said, "This is my fate. The Most High has turned His hand against me." And I just think about you saying, like, what is God doing? Or how often do we question what is God doing when the problems just start rolling in? And then it says, "But then I recall all You have done, O Lord. I remember Your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about Your mighty works." And I think how often He's never changing. His goodness and His faithfulness never changes. It's our thinking that changes when the problems start rolling in. And I think if we remember His faithfulness and the truths about who our God is and how good He is and how faithful He is, we can look and not necessarily attack the problem, but deal with the problem in a different light, to where we aren't questioning necessarily God's motive and is He good and is He faithful to us. We just see it a different way if we can remember His goodness and faithfulness in our lives up until this point. So I just thought I would share that.
That's exactly right. I'll tell you a little conversation me and Michelle had. I was doing that way, and I said, you know, I just can't figure out why these things are happening. I don't understand why God would drag me through this. And Michelle says, don't you realize, you know, that we have an enemy and the world is against us? You know, and that's just it. And we have to remember who we are and what we were bought with and what God planned for us. That's exactly right. That's a great verse.
Yeah. Go along with what Ali was saying. It's sometimes, how do we handle what we consider persecution to us? And sometimes we say, this can't happen to me. Well, it just did. And how are you going to handle that? And you come around to the point and say, Lord, why? Why are You doing this to me? And that comes to my mind, is strengthening you. How are you going to handle the situation you are? Are you going to crawl in a hole somewhere? And I have one thing that I go for, and it says, be prayed up and be read up. God's word can do more to strengthen us than we realize. And sometimes we get into those positions and just look at it from Job's point of view. Look what happened to him. And God never turned his back on him.
That's right. That's right. You know, and it's a vicious cycle too. You know, it goes back to our teaching when we were all first Christians. You know, what dog are you going to feed? You know, Dan talks about spiritual breathing. You know, are you spiritually breathing? Are you practicing your what you believe? Is the rubber meet the road? Do you believe in what you have been taught? You know, and a lot of times we get in this cycle, you know, and getting down and telling ourselves that, you know, why are you doing this? God's not there. God's no good. You know, God doesn't like me. Doesn't love me. And all these things are lies. And we have to remember who puts the lies out and who we are before the Lord, you know. Yes, sir.
Most of these people here know Hilda. But this lady has been through just about everything you can imagine.
Yes, she has.
She is, and miracle after miracle has been accomplished through her. I mean, she was to the point where the doctor wasn't paying much attention and sent her to another doctor who did pay attention, who sent her to UW. And they had a marvelous group of doctors there that paid attention. She had 43 pounds of water on her, and they eliminated that. And there's been other things that's just went on and on that accomplished where she's at right now. She got an LVAD, or artificial heart. And it was troublesome, but it kept her going. And then she's sitting outside, and they have just about done everything they can for her, and her heart's failing. She's sitting outside at UW. A lady comes up out of the tunnel and walks by her and walks back to her. She gave her this pendant. It was an angel carrying a heart. And left. She went home that night. They'd done all they could for her. And the same day, they called us and said they had a heart for her. Yeah. The same day. So she went in, she got a heart transplant. In the meantime, she's got a bad knee after she gets a heart transplant. They go in and they put an artificial in there because it's infected. And it has all kinds of stuff in it. So anyway, she has this thing for about 13 months. She's in a wheelchair. And they says, well, they're going to have to amputate. Doctor here was going to do it, and they wouldn't do it at this hospital. So they sent us back up to another, and the doctor says, well, he says, we can replace it. We got medicine we can give you to kill it. So then they says, well, this doctor's leaving. We get another doctor, and he says, yeah, we'll replace it. And he did. Put a brand new knee in her, you know. And they told her to take this medicine, and this medicine upset her. It's just, she's sick all the time. So she's decided to quit. She don't take it. She's fine.
It was so good to see her smiling face this morning as she walked in. Yeah.
So then she gets a shoulder replaced and another shoulder replaced. She's rebuilt. She's a miracle, I'll tell you for sure.
She is.
You tell me, I don't believe in miracles? They are, yes, sir.
You know, this church has been wonderful, and when I was sick, everybody was praying for me, and the thing you want to remember is God hears your prayers. I mean, we've seen a lot of miracles here, Hilda and myself, and There has been a lot of us here that's been sick and heard the God's heard our prayers and answered them. And it's important that we remember that, you know. God hears us. And sometimes in our moment of quiet prayer, you know, and congregational prayer, sometimes it's silent. But I know you guys are praying. Because after I was sick, I had a lot of you come up and tell me you were. And so I know this is a house of prayer. Anyone else? No. Oh, that's Izzy? Oh, okay. Well, thank you all for listening. Oh, Mary. Yes, ma'am. Wait a minute. I want to hear you.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm always a little bit held back when I feel like I need to invite somebody to church or, you know, just to talk about the Lord. I could do that. Sometimes it's hard to say, well, you know, come with me. And so I was talking to this fellow over here, from one of the McDonald's people who are without a home now for a while. You know, they tore the McDonald's down. So anyway, and he asked some questions here just recently. Was it this past week or so? Yeah. And I didn't invite him to church, but I just told him what a nice church that we have, you know. And so then I kept thinking about that, and I thought, you know, why didn't you just say, come and see us, you know? So we get out here this morning, and somebody said, you know, there's a guy named Larry that's looking for you two. So he had to come looking for us. And so I thought, so just let that be a lesson to you. You know, it's not too, you know, I didn't say, did I come to church? I didn't say come to church, Larry. So I'm sorry, and I'm glad he's here, but...
Welcome. But, I'm glad he's here too.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So don't be afraid. Be not as scared. That Bible verse, you know.
Be not as scared.
Oh, okay.
Amen.
I asked her what time church was. She said 10:45, and I says, "Well, that's great. I can sleep in."
Well, we're glad you're here.
The other thing is a real good vitamin for Christians to take is B1.
B1. Well, thank you all. And remember, we have a great God, and he loves us, right? And he's not there to rain down terrible things on us. He's there to save us. We got to remember that. And talk to each other. Share with each other what God's doing in your life, because he is doing great things in each one of our lives. Thank you. Thank you.
I'd like to invite you, if you feel led, please stand and worship with us, and we'll get you released so we can enjoy this sunshine.
Your name on high, Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. Lift your name on high, Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.